The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined by Professor Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How's it going?
It's going very well. Now, autism is never far from the news, particularly with someone like RFK Jr. in health and whatever it is in the United States, doubling down and commissioning another investigation into the causes of autism. But he's heading in the wrong direction.
Well, it's outrageous, Pat. It's ridiculous because 24 separate studies have proven there's no link between the MMR vaccine and autism, for instance. And even worse, Pat, it's causing consternation because he's put a guy in charge of it who was reprimanded for pretending to be a doctor. You know, a guy called Geyer, who's a vaccine skeptic, and he's now in charge of this re-examination of the link. So, and of course, more worryingly, there's a measles outbreak happening in all over the US at the moment, mainly in Texas. And they reckon that's because of this vaccine hesitancy that RFK Jr. is basically setting the tone of, you know, so it's really disturbing.
Now, the question of autism, you know, there is a perceived increase in autism. And obviously the question is this because it's better diagnosed or whether there's an absolute increase in the number of people who are on the spectrum? I don't know whether you can shed any light on that.
Oh, I can. There's been a striking increase. I mean, in the year 2000, for example, 1 in 150 were diagnosed with autism. Now it's 1 in 36. So you wonder, why has that increased? And it's very simple, Pat. It's more awareness, first of all. People are aware of this condition. And then secondly, they've broadened the diagnostic criteria. So you can fit into the diagnosis now more readily, I guess. That's the main reason why there's been this increase in incidence of autism. It's not because of something in the environment, say, or something triggering the increase. It seems to be mainly tied into a diagnosis.
Okay, broadening the criteria for deciding that someone is autistic and also being more aware so that people, I mean, we often hear interviews on radio where someone said, I brought my child and they were diagnosed as autistic. And then I realized, looking at my child's behavior, that's me too.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm on the spectrum as well.
I think we're all on the spectrum at some level, in some sense. You know, I mean, it's a very broad spectrum. Now, there's obviously more severe cases, which are disturbing for parents, of course. You know, some people think the criteria are too broad is one issue, but there's no doubt there's a significant number of children still presenting with quite severe autism. So it's still a serious thing, you know.
Now, let's talk about some of the mythology out there, the vaccine skeptics. And they pointed the finger at mercury for a while, but there was one thing they overlooked, which was... there was no mercury in the MMR.
That's right. Thimerosal, it's called. It was an additive that they were claiming was in vaccines and that was causing autism. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. himself pointed the finger. And there was none in the vaccine anyway. And that's an example of how Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has to be considered anti-science at this stage, Pat, because there was no evidence that that was involved and there was none in the vaccine anyway. And then, of course, the famous study in 1998 with 12 children, allegedly the MMR vaccine was going, that was debunked and retracted for being fraudulent. And that's what that study you see is still lingering. And that's kind of triggering yet another study that's been done in the US. It's very anti-science. I mean, it's a bit like saying, Pat, let's prove yet again that the earth is round. You know, in other words, the evidence is so compelling, there's no link. So why you would bother doing yet another study is beyond everybody, really.
So the worry about measles, of course, is that America, I think there are well over 500 cases now across the states. There's been at least one death, perhaps more at this stage. I haven't been able to keep up. But the point is that measles, America might become known as a place where measles is no longer a rare thing, but that it's endemic throughout the population.
Well, it's incredible. NBC News every night are giving numbers of new cases. It's a bit like the COVID-19 times when we saw these cases all the time. So now it is in the hundreds at the moment, but it's all over the US. So what the experts are saying is there's less vaccine uptake. This will mean a lot more measles. 1 in 4 children, Pat, get hospitalized. We know this before the vaccine. 1 in 500 die and 10% go deaf or blind. It's a very serious disease and it's fully preventable with a very safe vaccine. So the question I have is, why would any parent risk these consequences in their children when a vaccine will stop those things?
You see, what I'm concerned about is that, you know, we had an announcement on air this morning about anyone who's in carriage D on a particular train going to Belfast or whatever it was on a particular day might have been exposed to a measles case. And we're wooing the American tourists coming from states where measles will be very present. I mean, we're going to have to look at that very closely.
Well, even more importantly, make sure Irish parents keep using the MMR vaccine, because it's the absolute best way to protect your child from catching what can be a very serious disease. So the message must keep being pressed. Ignore RFK Jr. in a sense, you know, and make sure you vaccinate your child against measles.
So let's go back to the science. The evidence is suggesting now that autism is developed in utero. In other words, nothing that happens after you're born impacts on this. In other words, vaccines or other things, whatever the diagnosis is, it originates in something that happens within the womb.
That's right, Paddy. I mean, there's a genetic aspect to this. There's 200 genes have been linked to autism, and they mutate spontaneously in the developing fetus, if you know what I mean. Towards the end of the first trimester and early in the second, some genetic mutation happens, sadly and totally randomly, in the fetus, and in the brain develops slightly differently. That's a major reason why autism develops. And as you say, it's long before the baby's born. So how something like a vaccine could impact on that was always seen as unlikely. So something's happening, we think, when the brain is developing in the fetus that gives rise to the risk of autism developing.
Some suggestion that older sperm or the sperm of older men may have a contributing factor.
Yeah, there's evidence that older sperm is more prone to mutation, because it's kind of gone off a bit, if you know what I mean, as we age. So the risk of these mutations being triggered in the developing fetus is more likely if the father's age. It's a risk factor. It isn't definite, of course, but it's a risk factor. Older sperm is a risk factor. And then there's other things like obesity in the mother, for instance, diabetes. These are risk factors as well that seem to tie into an increased risk of autism. Why they link in isn't known, of course, but still the risks are there.
And then the autoantibodies from the mother, what is that about?
That's one of the big breakthroughs, Pat, to be honest, in my business. I'm very watching this closely. So a big factor seems to be something to do with the mother's immune system. And the mother begins to make these antibodies that go into the fetus. They cross the placenta and they attack the fetus's brain. And then the brain develops differently. And it's like an autoimmune disease in a way, because the mother is making antibodies to her own fetus, and they've identified some of these antibodies. If the mother has those antibodies in her bloodstream, there's a 98% risk of the child developing autism, which is very high. So we think there's something about the mother's immune system goes off kilter, through no fault of our own, by the way, of course. This is a spontaneous thing.
And this immune protein that they've isolated called IL-17, if they detect that, the risk is higher. Can they block that?
They can. That's the big. This was announced about 3 years ago now. It was a great finding, really. This is a particular part of the immune system called IL-17. If that's elevated in the mother, again, there's a higher risk of autism. Now, the good news there, Pat, is there are drugs to block IL-17 for other autoimmune diseases. In fact, for psoriasis, there's a drug that blocks IL-17. So now they're looking at women actually on that drug for psoriasis to see if it decreases the risk. And they've got tens of thousands of people on this drug, you know. Now, if that turned out to be correct, you could give a mother with high IL-17 a blocker, and that would substantially decrease the risk of the child.
So the idea is that there are people on this IL-17 blocker being treated for psoriasis, and they can look at that cohort of women when they have babies and check the rate of autism versus another sample or a control sample.
Precisely, and then they might begin giving it to women on purpose then, if you know what I mean, without psoriasis, and then that might decrease the mother's risk of having a child with autism, and that's seen as a big advance. Now, that gives us more weight behind the notion there's something about the mother's immune system. Now, again, I emphasise it's the mother's immune system, which again makes it ridiculous that the baby's immune system would be put off kilter by a vaccine. You know? So we think it's something to tie into the mother's immune response against her own developing fetus. It seems to be a risk factor.
Finally and briefly, Luke, I was listening to the Rest is Politics USA yesterday, and one of the topics they were discussing on the podcast was US scientists being wooed away from America because of the cut in funding for all sorts of eminent universities, but being wooed away by China, saying, come to us, you know, it's an English-speaking campus, you'll have great funding and great fun. Come and join us.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's competition for talent at the moment, let's put it that way, because the European Union, as we've discussed, is very keen on wooing some of these American scientists. Now, the spirit is they're in trouble and we need to help them, you know, because they can't do their research in America because there's no funding. So why not come to Europe or indeed China? So it looks like as if there's going to be a race for talent now between China and the EU and Australia and New Zealand, by the way. And remember, there are tens of thousands of scientists in America very worried at the moment because of the massive cutbacks that are happening in their funding. So it could be an opportunity, I guess. And the important thing is keep scientists doing their science. It doesn't matter where they do it. they could stay in the US if they were able to. But why not welcome them to Ireland even? We're looking to try to attract some of these people as well.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.